We worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. Hallelujah. In spirit and in truth. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this night, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust in you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength. And we love you, Lord, with all of our mind and soul and strength, Lord. Everything within us, Lord, everything we are, everything we're not, Lord, we're not. We give to you tonight. Have your way, Lord. We thank you for your word. We ask you to minister your word to these people tonight. I yield myself to you. And Lord, I give you all the honor and glory. Jesus is who we want lifted up in this place tonight, so that men and women and people will be drawn to him. Drawn to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that, amen. Hallelujah. Sweet Spirit here tonight. If you will, God's given me some thoughts, and I want to share them with you. If you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting probably in verse 12, but the main part of this will be 14 through 17, and then we'll read a little bit more in some other places in 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it seems like everywhere we go right now, and everybody that we're in contact with, is in a conflict of some sort or another. The enemy's attacking on every side, but that's not the end of the story. Amen? Hallelujah. Jean tonight is not feeling well. The enemy's attacking her again. How many know that sometimes our actions is what causes some of our grief? Our lust for things that we like, that we enjoy, that just really are not good for us, you know? Oh, they taste good. And I'm not telling you it's sin for once in a while to indulge, but what I am saying is, God talks about moderation. But sometimes what happens is sometimes it's not through any fault of your own. Oh, now, wait a minute, Bill, wait a minute. I'm saying sometimes circumstances put you in a place where you are not, you don't have a choice. Say amen or oh me. It's the truth. I mean, what we see today, because of the economy, because of they're utterly ridiculous choices by our government, which I'm not going to go into. Some people don't have a choice. There's many people in this church that are in a situation where they did not have a choice. Now, that's about the circumstances. I'm talking about the flesh here, the carnal. But we do have a choice. And that choice is to serve the Lord with all of our heart, to love Him, to obey Him. Amen? So we do have a choice. And one of the things that we need to always look to is the fact that God, and understand, is that God always has, I'm going to call it a miracle, or an advancement for us in His kingdom, and a blessing, which He promises, that can pull us out of the situation and change our situation. Y'all agree? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17 to start with. And as I was listening and I was praying and I was seeking God, I remembered some of these scriptures, and God began to just put it in me and began to reveal things to me, you know, about situations. You know, there's not a thing in this life that's hopeless if you know the Lord. Amen. Even, I don't care what it looks like, it's not hopeless. We talked about hope here a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to go back into that. If we don't have hope, we have nothing. Well, where's our hope? It's not in carnal things, it's in God. See, it's when we hope in things that God's not in the situation, God's not behind it, it's not God's will, that's when our hope gets deferred and our heart gets sick. That's when we begin to look and believe that God may not be there, still right there with us, walking with us. And we know that's not true. Well, why do we know? How do we know that? How do I know that? Because He told me so. Amen. He told me so. Listen carefully. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. A door was opened to me by the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed from Macedonia. That just kind of sets a little atmosphere here and a little platform to say what I have to say tonight. Now, listen to verse 14. Now, thanks be to God. To who? To God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. We need to be thanking God always, because He always leads us in triumph. He doesn't lead us in devastation. He doesn't lead us into things that we have no control over. But He tells us He's an ever-present help in our time of need to deliver us out of all, amen, the things and the plans of the enemy and all the situations that come in our life. Sometimes it's our own fault. Sometimes it's not our own fault. Sometimes it's flat out an attack of the enemy. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. He leads us in triumph. And through us, listen carefully, God is the one who through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. How does that happen? What does that mean? That fragrance is not only the smell, but the life of Jesus Christ. And He uses that as we serve the Lord, as we are imitators of Him. He causes people to be drawn to, if you want to call it a smell, it can be smell sometimes, but what it's drawn to is the truth and the light and the joy and the peace that you and I have as believers. Amen? Now listen to verse 15. It says, for we are to God. That means we are. As we serve the Lord, we're not only a fragrance in this earth, but we're a fragrance to Him. We are to God the fragrance of Christ. In other words, by our actions, by our lifestyle, the way we live, if we're living for the Lord, then we are the fragrance of His Son. We are the reminder of His Son. Among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. Now to God, when you're serving the Lord Jesus in this earth and to other people who are seeking the Lord, we're a sweet smell, we're a sweet addition, or a sweet, what do you want to say? Help me with the word, Lord. Aroma, or our lifestyle is sweet to them. And it's drawing them because they're seeking the Lord. That's talking about even those who are believers now. Not just those who would come because they're hungry, but those who are believers now. As our life emulates, as our life depicts, and the picture of Christ is in our life, emanating out of us, the light of God comes out and touches people. And not only that, it delivers you and I. Is that not true? Now in verse 16, listen carefully. It says, to one with the aroma of life leading... the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? As we live, we're going to bring conviction, not condemnation. We're going to bring conviction to those who are perishing, conviction to those who are dying, and we're going to bring a discomfort to them because of the fact that we're living for the Lord and that light's coming in and exposing all the things in their life that are negative, that are wrong, and the lifestyle they live. And there are going to be a lot of them who plain don't like it. They're going to run from it. But listen carefully. And to the other, the aroma of life, or the aroma of life leading to life. In other words, it's going to strengthen those around us. It's going to be something that draws people, that fragrance, that smell, that lifestyle, that joy, that light, is going to be something that draws people into the kingdom of God and causes them to get closer to Him. It's going to change their life. It's going to build and edify and exhort and comfort, build up and love those people. And to those who are lost, who are seeking God. There's not a person in this room who doesn't understand that we were created with a God-shaped hole in our life. And if it's God-shaped, then there's only one thing that can fill that hole, amen? That's God. For we are not as so many peddling the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Now, I want to tell you something. I am greatly disturbed by some of the things that I see on Christian television. Well, Bill, what are you talking about? I'm not questioning anybody. I'm not questioning their call. But I'm saying there are some things that make me completely uncomfortable. And they're peddling the Word of God. And they're peddling words, but they're not really words that are of life. They're words of greed. They're words of lust. And they're words of manipulation to people. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, you know, I'm just not cut from the same cloth, obviously. There are times when I get real excited and I get real adamant, but the point is, I see people up there, and God bless them. I'm not their judge. But I can tell you that makes me uncomfortable. And if it makes me uncomfortable, what I have to do is I have to go to the Word and I have to seek the Lord, get in the Spirit, and figure out what is going on and figure out why I'm uncomfortable. And I'm telling you why they may have a... How many know that error... Well, let me just share this with you. I won't ask you if you know, I'll just tell you. Error is nothing more than a portion of the truth carried to an extreme. Does that make any sense to anybody? That's all error is. It's a portion of the truth. It's getting a hold of a truth, but then making that and building that into a doctrine. And it's a doctrine of devils. If you're not going to preach the whole thing, probably best you don't preach at all. God has given and set forth, and I'm not going to go into this, I just want to touch on it just real carefully to paint a picture here. We're not peddling the Word. And yet to me it feels like they're peddling the Word. Peddling the Word. Give to me and you're going to get blessed. No. God has set forth a plan and a pattern and an order in which you get blessed and the ways you get blessed. One of the ways you can get blessed is by giving into other ministries. But the way you're going to get blessed the most is by giving where you're fed, giving into the storehouse, and that is not another ministry. I'm not saying that's wrong. Do you hear me? I'm not saying that's wrong. There's a lot of ministries out there that if I had the funds to do it, man, you bet I would give. But my first responsibility is here. And then God sets an order. He said, tithes, gifts, and alms, or in that something like that, in that order. And you can't do one without the others and think you're going to get blessed. Now, you may get a one-time blessing, but God, that's not where God's going to open the windows of heaven. That's not where all your financial troubles are going to, you know, fall away. And that's the kind of feeling that I get when I listen to some of these people. They're begging for money. If God's really behind the ministry, can I tell you something? I love TBN. I love Paul and Jan Crouch. But I'll tell you right now, some of the people they've had on there lately, they almost nauseate me. And they're God's kids. I'm not against them, but I want the fragrance of God. I want the fragrance of Jesus to come through. And I want people to understand the total truth. God's blessed that ministry, and it wasn't from all the begging for money. God called them, He anointed them, and that's what brings the blessing into the TBN ministry. Amen. That was for free. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Okay. Because the veil is taken away in Christ, it only taken away in Christ. How many know that the only blindness we have is because we're not seeing Jesus and we're not operating in Jesus and seeing the light that He's putting out there for us? He did really cover his face when he came off the mount. The glory of God was all over him. Yeah, amen, amen. But listen carefully. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. That is for those who still have not become completed in Christ, who are not Messianic Jews, but Old Testament Jews. See that veil of not being able to see and understand who the Messiah is. When the Spirit of God comes and He begins to draw them out of. As that happens, we know that when the temple, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that veil that was very thick was rent from the bottom to the top, or torn from the bottom to the top, opening the way for us to come back into the Holy of Holies and be with our God. And then we understand that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. We're seated with Jesus, who's our head. We're the body, and we're the church, but we're seated with Him. And that means that the enemy, the Bible says, is under our feet, because the enemy's His footstool. So it's our footstool too. Amen? Excuse me. It's He is not. He is under our feet. The only way that veil can be torn is when you receive what Jesus has done for you. Until that time, you're still in darkness. And that doesn't make any difference if you're Jew or not. You're still in darkness. And that veil is what separated us. When Adam and Eve committed that sin, we all know that what happened there was because they rebelled against God, they committed treason against God, and they did not obey His word. That's what caused the grief that we've lived in from eternity past to eternity present. Amen? 6,000 years. Almost 7,000 years now. But when that veil is taken away, the light of God comes in. And it begins to bless, and it begins to reveal God, God's Son, the good things that He has, the lifestyle that He has for us. And the more we live and walk in that blessing as that veil is taken away, we see Him, and now we have access, bold access to His throne and to Him. Bold access. Amen? So no matter what the problem is, no matter what we face, whether it's our own doing or not, we have access to Him. And then like it says in verse 14, now thanks be to God who always, He doesn't point the direction, He leads us in triumph. Amen. Listen, verse 16, it says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And God's Word says, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Amen? And then He admonishes us, don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage like some people do. Don't go back to the old things like a dog to his vomit. Amen? Set your mind, set your trust, set your heart on God. And watch God bring you to a place where no matter what happens in your life, you sense, you know, and you see, and you feel, all of them together, that you're in the hand of God, and God's got it all worked out. Amen? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, listen carefully, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, therefore, because of these very things that we've talked about in chapter 2 and chapter 3, now we go to chapter 4, verse 16, and it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. The day you came into this earth, the day you were born, you began to die. Amen. That's not something we like to think about, but it's the truth. But we don't lose heart at that. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen? The inward man. That's talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's talking about the soul man. And how's it renewed? By the Word of God. The washing of the water of the Word. See, this is not only our daily bread, our food, and our spiritual sustenance, but it's also a shower we need to take for sure every day. And if I can stretch this just a little bit, if we don't do that, then we start to stink a little bit. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, listen carefully, our light affliction, I don't care what trial you've gone through, what trial you're going through. I don't care what kind of attack the enemy's put on you. It's a light affliction. And it's only for a moment. Amen? Amen. And what it's doing is that affliction is pointing us to the Lord, drawing us to Him, and He's using that to show us. He didn't put it on us, but He's making it better by showing us the way and causing us to look to Him if we'll surrender. And as we look to Him, it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And in the vast scheme of things, it's a light affliction. I mean, to us, it seems like disaster. It seems like the end of the earth. It seems like, oh, dear God, I don't know what's going on. Am I ever going to come out of this? Yes. I said yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. In this world we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I mean, this tribulation, but be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Amen. While we do not look at the things that which are seen, you want to get yourself in trouble in a hurry? Start looking at your circumstances or the things you see. And I guarantee you, every time you'll be distracted. And you'll lose focus on whose you are and who you serve and who has His hand on you and says that nothing shall by any means hurt you. He says nothing will separate you from My love. Amen? He's already promised us that even if we make our bed in hell, He's there. Amen. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, listen carefully, for the things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. It doesn't make any difference what happens in our lives. When we pray, God hears and answers our prayer, unquestionably. Bill and I were talking Sunday, just briefly. And one of the things we talked about is the fact that it's one of these days, and I believe this is coming, and I don't understand why this is. I know that God, when He says we pray, He answers those prayers. And especially when we pray according to His will, and what's His will? His Word. His Word is His will, and His will is His Word. When we do that, it's done, no matter what happens or no matter what we feel. And I don't care if it takes 1 second or it takes 1 year. Or more than that, it's done in the name of Jesus. But what my Bill and I were talking about is one of these days we're going to see it come instantaneously. Amen. And I know we're all looking forward to that. But even in that, it's still a light affliction. Even when the afflictions and the calamities and the tribulation comes, it's light. Remember what it says in Romans 8:18. For I, considering that the sufferings of this present age are not to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, the things we put our trust in, if it's godly, if it's from the Word, if it's knowing Him and walking with Him, are eternal. And you know what? They can't be taken away from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go over chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Let's start in verse 12 instead. We're going to read all the way through 21. That's where we're going to end tonight. It says, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Now, there's a lot of boasting out there about things that, you know, look at all the great things I've gotten done. But those things are the things that are talked about in the previous verse 18 that are temporary. Those are things that you can't take with you. They have no eternal weight of reward. They have no eternal significance. You're going to perish along with them. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. And if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us that we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And of course, this is talking about the fact that Jesus paid the price. He died once for all, and once and for all. There's nothing more that needs to be done, except for you and I accepting the completed work of Calvary.
Like you said,
Lord,
it is finished.
Amen. That's exactly what he said. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. There you have it. That's one of the biggest issues, is the selfishness and the self-indulgences that we have in our life that try to take control of us. And if you've been walking with the Lord, and if you're strong and sound in the Lord, then those indulgences shouldn't have any part of us. Amen? But yet, I know by experience and by my life that when things go wrong, those are kind of the things we run to because they bring comfort to us. Or we think they bring comfort to us. What's that?
Drugs,
alcohol. It can be food, it can be cars, it can be money, it can be anything. We should live no longer for ourselves or for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Here's the thing that's so hard for some people to see. They do not see and understand that it's the joy, the blessing, the abundance comes from living in and serving the Lord, no matter what. Now, I know there's not a person in this room that hasn't gone through or is not going through right now some sort of affliction or tribulation in their life. Something's going on. But God is still in control. And we just read it. Verse 14, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. What did that say? Thanks be to God. He says, in everything give thanks. This is my will. This is the will of Christ concerning you. And what are we giving thanks for? We're not giving thanks for the calamity. But we're giving thanks for the fact that God has it under control. God still has His hand on our lives. And He's going to bring us through unscathed. Like I said probably last Wednesday night, or not last Wednesday night, but recently I said, that's what happened when the three Hebrew children were in the fire. Now, who in this room has gone through a tribulation or a trial like that? I know it seems that way, but that's not the truth. I've gone through a lot of terrible things, Brian. But the bottom line is, I've never gone through a fiery trial like that where you're facing imminent death. Okay. Well, then I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But the thing is even in the midst of that, and the enemy who put them in the fire, God showed Himself strong on their behalf, and even the very person responsible for what would have been their demise had they not been God's kids had to say, there's a fourth man in the fire, and he's like the Son of God. And hadn't even been revealed. And so what happened? They came out without even the smell of smoke. Not one hair singed. Not even the smell of smoke on their garment. The only thing that got burned off was the chains and the ropes that bound them. That's all that was burned off.
And you said they were Jewish children?
They were three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, if you ever want to look it up.
Yeah, I've heard of the story, but I didn't know they were children.
Well, that's a term used in the Bible. We're all God's children.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. All right.
Okay. No, they were young men. They were young men, but God had brought honor to them even before this. God had brought honor to them even before this. They were acknowledged by the king because of the fact that they were God's kids. The Bible says, you know, I talked to Patrick here recently. He was telling me about a promotion through the Gideons. And he was telling me, well, you know, I'm going to pick on you for a second, Patrick, or at least share this. He was telling me I really wasn't looking for this, and I was thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit stopped me, and He spoke to my heart, and He said, but Patrick, let me remind you, promotion comes from God. The Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. We see that in the life of Joseph. We see it in the life of Daniel. We see it in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even in people who were a little mixed up like Job. Amen? These weren't perfect men, but they were men who had their heart fixed on God. And because of that, their promotion comes. Your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. What does it is the Spirit of God that's recognized by others. There's an air, there's a fragrance that is on you as a Christian. And that fragrance is what brings blessing to your life. In the midst of calamity, in the midst of accusations, this man has accosted me, Potiphar's wife. Joseph just gets out of prison and he turns around and Potiphar's wife accuses him of things because Joseph wouldn't give in to the sin. And she didn't like it. She took that as an offense. Right back in prison he went. And yet, in the end, the vision that God gave David, or Joseph, was brought to pass. And in the end, he was made the highest leader in the kingdom next to the king. Amen? Praise God. Well, you need to go back to the book of Exodus. Read all of Exodus. It's there, especially at the end, I believe. Isn't that right? Genesis. That's right, Genesis. Joseph was a young man who God gave a vision to and spoke to his heart. His problem is, like so many of us, he had kind of a big mouth. He went around talking about it, which I don't know if that was wrong, but it brought offense to his brothers. So his brothers were going to kill him. What's that? Yeah. But sometimes we let our alligator mouth overload our gnat behind. And I boast in the Lord. The Bible Scripture talks about boasting in the Lord. What does that mean? Boasting about me? But no, boasting about Him. But what happened is God gave him a vision, and basically he told them that the vision that he would be a ruler over them. Well, you know how that goes for big brothers. This pipsqueak's now telling them, we're not having this. We'll make sure that doesn't happen. So what did they do? They devised a plan to kill him. They took his coat of many colors, which his dad gave him, dipped it in blood, and they were going to take it back and they were going to kill him. But there happened to be a caravan coming along. I'm making this short. I'm just going to go through this. There happened to be a caravan coming along, so they dumped him in a pit rather than killing him. I mean, they had at least that much sense about them. They pulled him out and sold him into slavery. And for the next, 20 years? Do you remember the time frame? Was it 20 years? Or 40 years? 40 years. 40 years. For the next 40 years, he would get raised up, and then the enemy would come back and attack, and he'd wind up in prison again. But the whole time, he never lost heart. He kept his focus on God. He kept his focus on the purpose. And he did what brought blessing to the kingdom that he was in. He became a leader in Potiphar's house, a man who was given great distinction in Potiphar's house. But Potiphar's wife didn't like it. She wanted him to sleep with her. He said, no, I'm not having it. And then after that, so he wound up in prison again. And then, what's that? Was prison once? Anyway, when he was in prison, that's right, you're right. And when he was in prison, somebody remembered about Joseph, and they went to the king because the king had had a vision or something. You have to read it. It's all right there. What's that? A dream, yeah, okay. Yes. Best thing to do, Brian, is read it. It'll bring you up to speed, okay? Anyway, the bottom line is, there's one scripture in Genesis chapter, I believe it's 50, and it says the whole purpose for all this, it was God's purpose, not for him to go through what he did, but God's purpose for making him the leader where he literally saved the entire world at that time, is God did it to save men alive. Praise God. So no matter what your affliction is, no matter what happens, if you keep your focus on God, then you're going to come out on top, and your gift will make room for you.
So basically, sort of the story of what you're trying to say is that we went through all these trials and tribulations, it kept us focused on God, and did not give up his belief in God, and it turned around.
Never lost sight of the dream.
Never lost sight of the dream, and it turned around and became
reality.
Next to the king.
But it wasn't about Joseph. It was about Joseph fulfilling God's plan and destiny, and Joseph being the one called by God to do this.
I mean, his position in life, he was one step below, like the vice president of a king.
All ordained by God. All ordained by God. Not the problems, not the calamities, but the outcome.
Exactly.
Did you hear me?
Did you hear that?
Amen. He never gave up the vision. That's right. Well, if you didn't believe, then you wouldn't keep the vision.
Correct.
So, praise the Lord. Moving on. Anyway, praise the Lord. And that's the thing, you know. No matter what happens, if we know God's called us, and we do, amen. We know God's called us. We know He's chosen us. His gifts and calling are without repentance. Then all we've got to do is keep our focus. It's like the Bible talks about when we run the race. We run a race to run the whole race. And we're looking to the prize that's the end of that race. What's the prize? The mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so that's what we need to do, is keep our focus there. Everything that happens around us are incidentals, are trivial things. They really... Psalm 91 says, a thousand fall at your side and a thousand at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. Only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. God says even your enemies will be at peace with you. Amen? So the bottom line is, it doesn't make any difference what's going on around you. It may affect this world, but as a believer, it should have no effect on you except to drive you closer to God. Amen? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. When we first met Jesus, we knew Him by the carnal thinking, by the mind. But because of the washing of the water, the word, we had a renewing of our mind. We are continually having a renewing of our mind. And so we don't regard Him by the flesh anymore. Now we know Him after the Spirit. Amen? And it's His Spirit that has taken control in our life and has changed our soul nature, and is changing our soul nature. It's not done till the last breath and we go to be with Him. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, famous and a very... well-used, heavily used scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The sufferings, the things we go through before we know the Lord they're not gone. But the point is that as in Christ, they're easily dealt with. And there's now a hope in us. A hope in us. In God. And the biggest thing in that scripture is the things we did in the past, the things we could be accused of, the things that the enemy wants to accuse us because he's a false accuser, amen, are not true anymore. Paul, before he became Paul, was Saul. He was a Pharisee and a persecutor of the church. And when he got born again, when Jesus came and met him on the Damascus Road, he came to one place in the Bible where they accused him of being a murderer and a killer. And he said, I've harmed no man. I've done wrong to no man. Now, how could he say that? It's because he had a revelation of the truth of God in his life that said, when you get born again, your sin is removed from you. By the work of Jesus, your sin is removed from you as far as the east is from the west. God has no more record of it. It can't be brought up again. It's buried in the deepest sea. That's exactly right. Well, righteousness comes into your life and into your life, and it is righteous. Amen. Exactly. But it's the righteousness of Jesus that covers us at that point. So that's why he could say that. And he wasn't lying. Because Saul was dead, now Paul was alive. Paul was renamed Paul. Several times in the Bible we read, Abraham was one of them. It was Abram. until a certain point in his walk with God, and then God changed his name to Abraham. Saul was Saul, but he became Paul. I remember an old song we used to sing in Sunday school as a little kid. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels tell a story. A sinner has come home. Well, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And I can't remember how the rest of it goes, but anyway, praise the Lord. You know? See, that's the hope. See, I'm no different than anybody else. But the difference in me is I've walked with God long enough, and I've trusted Him long enough that no matter what comes, I've walked through it. I've had the experiences, as many of you have, that now I know. And that's what happens. Because of the joy that's in my heart, because of the relationship I have with Him, when things come, songs like that come to my remembrance. The Word of God comes to my remembrance. So that when the calamity comes, I have weapons that are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're not worldly. That I had at my disposal. And they're mighty through God. For what purpose? To pull down the strongholds that try to come against me, try to rule my life and take my life from me and turn me back into something I don't want to be. I can't go back. I don't want to go back. I'm not going back. Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You're a new species or being that never before existed. The old man is dead, and he can't be resurrected. What's that? And the white-robed angels tell the story. A sinner has come home. Amen. Patrick, you're a blessing. You're a blessing. See, I don't know what's going on behind me. Besides, I'm supposed to be looking. Never mind. I'm messing with you. Verse 18. Now all things are of God. Listen carefully. All things are of God. Does that mean the calamity and the affliction? No. But God sees us through them. And He has the answer for them. Here's what it says. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. It's the only answer. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, that's what it's all about. Brian, that's what happened to you the day you walked through that back door. You stepped right into a ministry of reconciliation. We just happened to be the vessels that God used to bring that about, to cause that illumination in your understanding to see that God was for you and not against you, and through all the calamity and things you've had up to this point. And He's the one who's going to carry you through anything that comes in the future. And the enemy's always going to come to try to pull your mind away and say, wait a minute, you know, this is supposed to be... Hey, I've been there. I'm telling you. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I've been there. God, I don't understand. There was a point in my life where I know many of these people know this, but there was a point in my life where I just threw my hands up and said, God, I'm going to go to hell anyway, so why am I doing this? And that's when God spoke to my heart and said, Bill, I didn't ask you to get good. See, I wanted so much to live up to this, but you can't live up to this in yourself. It's impossible. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, Bill, I didn't ask you to get good. God's Spirit said, I didn't ask you to get good and then I'd come in. He said, I said, let me in and I'll make you clean and make you good from the inside out. One step and issue at a time. Amen? That is in God, verse 19. That is in God. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you the interpretation of that tongue right now. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing or holding against them their trespasses or their sins or their misdeeds or their lawlessness to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God is the reconciler. And He's called us to a ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means reconciling ourselves and others to Him. Letting Him be that one who was the absolute center of all that we do and say. The very center of our breath, our life, our expectation. Amen? And that's what we preach, is reconciliation. Amen? It's the main thing. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And finally in verse 21, hey, I didn't invite you. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We not only get reconciliation, but we get made righteous. Hallelujah. And mercy and goodness follow us all the days of our life. Amen? Amen? I want to tell you a little something about this I heard recently. And I've been kind of bantering back and forth with myself to talk about this. There was a man. I don't know this man. I've never heard of him before. I've never seen him. He's not an American citizen. He's a black man. And I can't tell you exactly. I think I know what program he's on, but I don't even remember that. But one thing he was asked about is a dream or a vision that he had. A dream. And the dream seemed to have some prophetic significance. Again, I don't know the man. I've never seen him on television before or anything. But this was a foreign guy, not from the United States. And what he said was, and I find this interesting, that God has been kind of tugging at my heart about this. He's been speaking to me and ministering to me. How many want to see all men saved? Amen. I don't want to see anybody perish. That's not what God's will is for men to perish. But what I found interesting was that it was about Obama. And I've told you how I feel about what the Word says about praying for those in leadership. And I'm a firm believer. You don't pray for wisdom for people who are ungodly. Dear God. I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. You pray for their salvation so the wisdom of God can come in and cause them to do what they should do. But what he said was, and how many know when the Word of God is sent, it accomplishes what it's sent to do, and it does not return void. Is that right? Isn't that what God says? So here's Obama, and this man says, he says, in this dream, Obama would serve two terms. And I'm not telling you this is absolute. I'm not going to tell you that. I believe in it. I want to see it happen. I'll tell you that. But he said he would serve two terms. And for the first 5 years, he would carry on doing the things exactly what he's doing. But the Word, the seed of God, the Word of God, the seed that's been planted in him would all of a sudden take root and germinate. And God would turn his life around. And he would spend his last 3 years doing or trying to do the righteous thing, the godly thing. I tell you what, that to me just absolutely, why wouldn't God do that? That's part of God's plan. Why wouldn't I believe that? Now, if the man's right, and if it really was a vision from God or a dream from God, we'll see it happen. And I have no problem with it. If it's not, then we'll just say, okay, at least we had hope. There's that hope thing again. We had hope for a little while. Amen? Those things are in God's hands. You bet it could happen, Harry, and I appreciate that you said that. And you know what? And because God doesn't want Obama to perish. Amen.
You know, I wonder if it could happen by him protecting Israel.
Hey, I think that could be a part that comes out of it. You know, Brian, one thing I've learned not to do is try to figure out what God's up to. Just accept it and go on and pray. You know, just be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Hey, anything's possible. But God's ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not His thoughts. So God's got a plan. There's no question. We all know that. Amen? So, amen. Are y'all blessed? Y'all got clear hearts? Did you hear something that blessed your soul tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You are the one who is in control. I don't care what it looks like, Lord. Now, You won't force Yourself and control those who don't want to be controlled, Lord. But You're in control of those who love You, those who serve You, those who have called upon Your name, and who have given their lives to You, Lord. Given their very lives to You, everything, their very breath, Lord. And so we thank You for the good things, for the blessings, for the answers, for the causing mountains to be thrown into the sea as we speak in faith and as we don't doubt but believe in our heart. Lord, You're in control. And there's nothing, nothing we have to fear. We are the heirs according to Your Word. We are Your army according to Your Word. We are victors according to your word. And you said nothing will by any means hurt us, that no weapon formed against us would prosper. So Lord, no matter what comes, no matter what we see, no matter what the affliction, the tribulation, no matter what it is, Lord, you're in control. And our hope's in you. And that brings joy and peace. And I speak that over your people tonight. If they're struggling with anything, Lord, I don't care what it is, you have and you are the answer. And if we'll keep our focus, if they will keep their focus on you, then, Lord, we're going to come out on top. And the smell of smoke is not even going to be on us. We'll go through the tribulation, and the only thing that was on us that were the chains that held us down, but through faith, we're set free in your name and for your purpose. Father, I thank you for faith increasing in your people. I thank you for touching them tonight. I thank you that your face and your countenance shines upon your people, that your blessings flow to them, Lord, and flow through them and overtake them. And I thank you for this night and for blessing us tonight with your word. Seal your word in our hearts in Jesus' name by the Spirit of promise. We thank you and praise you. Bless our time of fellowship tonight, Lord. And be with each one who goes home tonight. Safe trip, sweet dreams, and sweet sleep as you promised. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.